present in the Yajnashala, in the coconuts on the corners. So, in that way, the vows are of a serious nature, naturally. Sometimes I use the story of Krishna and planting the pearls. I like that story, and Krishna saw that the gopis had so many pearls. They were laughing with him. Krishna said he would make his own pearls by planting pearls. And, of course, everyone said, Krishna, it's impossible to plant pearls. He said, no problem at all. And he was daily, after the pearls were put in the ground, he was daily pouring milk on them. And then everyone said it was a waste of time, but then after a short while, plants began to sprout. And yes, there were nice bushes with lots of pearls on it. Very opulent, very nice. So everyone was amazed at Krishna's pearls. So if we look at the vows of initiation, we should treat them like that. We should treat them like treasures and water them carefully. Sravana kirtana jalasi chana. We should water them by hearing and chanting. And in this way, the plants will sprout and then produce so many nice results. So, therefore it is often said that initiation is a beginning. It is a beginning where the conditions are right. Where basically in our life we have established the proper priorities and principles, and now we can begin with the process of sadhana bhakti as Srila Rupa Goswami has outlined it in the Nectar of Devotion from chapter 6 to chapter 14, the process of sadhana bhakti is described. In sadhana bhakti, we engage in the service of the deity. We engage in the service of Tulasi. We engage in the service of chanting the holy name. There is, out of the 64 items of bhakti, there are 5 which are described as the most powerful. These 5 most powerful aspects of bhakti are known as Panchanga bhakti, the 5 principal limbs of bhakti. And they are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, serving the devotees, Mathuravas, residing in the holy dham of Vrindavan, worshipping the deity, and most important of all, the chanting of Hare Krishna. And so these 5 are the center of our devotional activities. And we see that, basically, if we look at the temple program as Srila Prabhupada designed it, it's built around these 5 principal activities. And then the additional items also. Just like it said, Aradhanam Sarvesam Vishnur Aradhanam Param Tasmat Parataram Devi Tadiyanam Samachanam. That of all who are worshipable, Vishnu is the topmost worshipable. But still more worshipable are the paraphernalia or those attributes that are associated with Krishna, like the Ganga, Yamuna, or the Otulasi. They are known as Tadiya, those things that are related to Krishna. So by serving them, it said, one makes even more advancement. Because by going through the devotee of Krishna, we're going towards Krishna. So in this way, we are now about to learn in detail about how to practice the process of sadhana bhakti or devotional service in practice. If one studies the nature of devotion, one will see that basically the senses and the mind, the senses and the mind are being engaged in the service of Krishna. That's the idea. Not just the mind alone, right? Not just that we try to fix the mind on Krishna, because it's difficult to fix the mind on Krishna, because the mind is very obstinate. So therefore, the senses, because we are naturally drawn towards the senses. After all, for many lifetimes, we have been involved in sense gratification. And Atmendriya Pritivancha Tarabolikam. We have been interested in Atmendriya, in our own sensual enjoyment. And now that we are beginning with Krishnendriya Pritiyacha Dara Premanam, now that we begin to put the senses of Krishna before our own interest, well, now we have to make adjustments. It doesn't simply work to stop all sensual enjoyment, because we are conditioned. But by engaging the senses in the service of Krishna, it's said by smelling the flower of Krishna, by seeing the murti form of Krishna, by using the legs to walk through the temple or around the temple, in this way, by engaging the various senses in the service of Krishna, one's senses become purified and gradually attached to Krishna and simultaneously detached from all these material things. And as we are getting more attached to Krishna, we automatically lose our taste for material things. It's not completely maybe, but gradually. It becomes shallow, not the same. That which meant so much to us before, now it sort of becomes meaningless. So in this way, it's not a forceful process where one just say, now I will fix the mind on Krishna. In chanting the holy name, we find it's not easy to fix the mind on the holy name. That is a great challenge. But the more the mind is drawn towards Krishna, the more it is naturally possible to fix one's mind on the holy name. Therefore, by hearing, when we hear about Krishna, then we find out about Krishna's attractiveness. Then we are exploring how Krishna is all attractive. And the more we are discovering that Krishna is actually attractive, the more we will be attracted to chant the holy name of Krishna. Therefore, although we are not taking a vow, we're not taking a vow to daily hear. That is an optional activity, an additional activity. But exactly that vow is, or that unspoken vow is also important, that we commit ourselves to reading the scriptures. Of course, it is said that by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimvata Swakata Krishnan Punya Sravana Kirtanam Ridiyantasto Ir Abhadrani Vidunate Suritsatam Nasta Prayesu Abhade Su Nityam Bhagavata Sevya Bhagavati Uttama Sloke Bhakti Bhavati Naistaki. So it is said that by this process of hearing about Krishna, the heart becomes purified from all kinds of impurities. Vidunati Suritsatam. Vidunati in India, you see that before the winter, you used to see, now maybe less, but still, you see these men walking by and they have a big bow with a string and they make some sound. And they walk through the street. And what they do with this bow, they take the old quilts, right, that people have in their houses from the last winter, and they open it up, and by the sound, all the cotton that has become sort of really condensed and stuck and pushed together by the sound, it all fluffs up again. And then good for another winter. So like this, and the bowl is called the vidunoti. So vidunoti, so all those things that are caked within the heart, stuck there and pressed together, all those anarthas, they are, by this hearing and chanting, they're coming out and are being purified. Then everything inauspicious will disappear from the heart. And one becomes almost completely purified. So Srila Prabhupada on different occasion clarified why the word almost. And he said that almost because by developing transcendental knowledge, one becomes purified, but one also becomes proud simultaneously. So one must be careful. He said, but in chanting Hare Krishna, it's very difficult to maintain pride. Because it's hard to chant Hare Krishna. And only if one is chanting in a dependent mood, in a mood that I depend on mercy. If one has that mood from, I'm actually helpless, like Prabhupada said, like a child calling out for the mother, in a helpless state of mind. That means in a humble state of mind, considering that I have no power. I have no power of my own. I have no great intelligence. I have no great qualifications. Only in that mood does it become a little easier to chant. So chanting, therefore, naturally brings out humility, Srila Prabhupada explained. But both hearing and chanting, hearing from scripture and chanting goes hand in hand. One is inspiring the other. So especially those who are taking second initiation, they are meant to to study scripture. Yajan yajan patan patan dana pratigraha. They are engaging in the worship of the deity and engage others in the worship of the deity. Deity worship is nice because everything on the altar is according to prescribed duty. Everything. There's no question that one can do anything on the altar just other than service. You can have second initiation, but you can't just say, well, I'm going to sit on the altar today and chant my japa there. That's not really possible, right? I mean, no, one goes on the altar to serve Krishna according to the particular need that is there, according to the time of the day and so on, and one goes there for a service. Therefore, the deity worship is very nice because it takes us completely off the mental platform. There's no room at all for the mental platform. Zero. Because everything is just supposed to be proper. And in that way, while we are engaged in deity worship, we are actually becoming situated in the on the spiritual platform. All our activities are on the spiritual platform. Maybe our consciousness, not yet. I remember when I was the pujari here for 3 months. I was pujari. At that time, the deities were upstairs in the room where now the ladies stay on the first floor. And I had to wake the deities and put them to rest, and is cooking offerings in between. So sometimes during the last arti, I would slowly doze off. It's long days. So, yes, like this, we are experiencing that maybe in the beginning, our deity worship, although it may be according to prescribed duties remains mechanical. In the first initiation, we are focusing on making sambandha. The focus is sambandha. So sambandha means to make the connection. Sambandha, making the connection with Krishna. That is our thing. So connection with Krishna, connection with the chanting, connection with the process. That is our focus in the first initiation. Somehow or other get fixed. It's one thing to chant, but you don't have to. But once you've made that promise, then you have to. There's no more choice. Connection is made. And regulative principles, not only four, these four are the four prohibition. It is said, sarva vidi niseda shur. There are vidi and nisedas. There are positive injunctions and prohibitions. So in any, there are activities that are forbidden, activities that must be done. Of the two, the chanting of the Hare Krishna, the positive activity of our vows, and the four prohibitions, of the two, the chanting of Hare Krishna is more important. Because even if someone doesn't follow the principles but starts chanting, then after a while, automatically the chanting will purify that person, start developing the desire to please Krishna, and then come the four regulative principles. Because after all, if you just by following the four regulative principles, you cannot go back to Godhead. That won't do. That's not enough. So that is only to create an auspicious basis for our spiritual life. But the true process, the true connection, comes in the chanting of Hare Krishna. It's not that the chanting of Hare Krishna is some sort of simplified process. That in this age, most people are not qualified, and that therefore the process must be extremely simplified. No, it is actually that the chanting of Hare Krishna is indeed very simple, but at the same time, it is the most elevated process. It is even more elevated than the processes in other ages, where jayato, makai, paricharyayat, or meditation, sacrifices, and deity worship are the yuga dharmas, respectively, for Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, and Dwapara Yuga. In Kali Yuga, this chanting of the holy name is the most powerful process, because Golokera Prema Dhanahari Nama Sankirtana. It is directly revealing all the wealth of the spiritual world to us. So those who come from an Indian tradition should not think that this is a lower process. No, it is rather a higher process. It is the process of dealing directly with Golok. The spiritual world is made up out of the Brahma Jyoti, and within the Brahma Jyoti there are Vaikuntha planets, and that takes up half of the spiritual sky. And then the other half of the spiritual sky is basically Golok, but in the form of a lotus, and on the external periphery we find Mathura and Dwarka, and then just on the very tips of these lotus petals, the abode of Ayodhya. Whereas the world of the lotus is known as Vrindavan or Golok Vrindavan. And this Golok Vrindavan is divided in two sections, as is described in the Brahma Samhita, purports of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, where he explains that one portion of Golok is known as Svetadvip. And this Svetadvip is no different from Navadvip. It is the eternal Navadvip, where the eternal pastimes of Lord Chaitanya are taking place. So sometimes we may think that, oh, we see an altar and we see that pictures of the Guru, then next level we see Gaur Nitai, and then top level we see Radha and Krishna. But actually, in a way that doesn't fully represent the situation of the spiritual world. Because in the spiritual world, Gaur Nitai are on the same level as Radha and Krishna. Yeah? They are side by side. Yeah? And it is said that some devotees are eternally residing in that Svetadvip with Lord Gauranga, and other devotees are residing in Goloka or Gokul with Krishna, and some devotees are eternally residing in both. Oh. Is there a fifth one for Krishna? Where's the fifth on that side? No, I see four coconuts or five? Only four. Well, okay. There always should be a fifth one which represents Krishna. The four represent the demigods. There's a fifth one that represents Krishna. Anyway, we'll... that's be good. And that should be a little higher than the other ones, or a little more opulent. Yeah. So, Yeah, these pots represent the demigods, and actually, if you do it properly, then they are being installed there. The leaves are representing the limbs of the body, and a Brahman thread goes on top, and a Harinam chala around the bottom, and one should inside install nine Navaratnas, nine stones, right, with mantras and so on. But that's not so important. Because we are simply turning to Krishna. So as I was saying, in the first initiation it's about sambandha. Second initiation it's about abhideya. It's about purification. It's about the process of becoming more qualified. Whereas in the first initiation in sambandha, making the connection, the essence is about getting very serious about doing the right things and no more doing the wrong things. In the second initiation in abhideya, where purification becomes the focus, the focus is that we are contemplating to become, to develop qualities. See, I mean, looking for purification means we're trying to develop qualities. So in the beginning it's important what you do, and then it becomes more important who you are. Well, I often say, just as before the first initiation, we are already expected to act on the platform of being initiated for some time, and then you can get initiation. In the same way, as soon as we've taken the first initiation, we should start thinking about the second. In the next moment, as soon as you're done, then you can start preparing for the second and try and develop some qualities. Try and become learned. Try and become situated in the mode of goodness. And so on. Yeah. And try to act according to scripture, and all these, immediately one can begin to cultivate that. And when we get a little more mature in that, then we can begin to take up the process of devotional service more seriously. Yeah. I have another analogy that I'll just introduce to you, and that's like this, is that, you know, this talk is kind of a talk where you are getting some good advice, and you're getting some idea of what you're doing, some ideas of what to pay attention to, like this, I'm trying to give you, for your journey, various good tips and some support on the way. And we put you basically in this little boat, right? And we put all the good things in that little boat, and we're nice and friendly. And then when this sort of, at one point, as the lecture's been going on and you're just beginning to sort of doze off, then suddenly, out of nowhere, we give the boat a big push. And then you're all out there by yourself. And of course, you know, we still, you know, give you good advice. Don't forget. All right. Remember. Okay. And we'll wave on the shore. And sometimes we come in our big speedboat, just sort of vroom, past your little boat to check how it's going. You know? But that's kind of the situation. It's like most of the time we are alone in our little boat and we get some support, but it's not that we are suddenly constantly under the care, under the active care of our spiritual master. I've been explaining that the well-wishes of the spiritual master are upon us, but he can't be physically with us all the time. But one should think like that. One should live very intimately in the relationship with the spiritual master, and one should think at any time that the spiritual master is looking over our shoulder. At any moment, I always think he's looking over my shoulder right now. Oops, you know, because the tendency to act in one way in front of the spiritual master and in another way in the absence of the spiritual master is just in us. We are like that. You know what I mean? In front, we are just showing just a little better side of ourselves, and when he's not there, then we are slightly more casual. Of course, still very, 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 very too much bhakti, but a little difficult. So we should meditate like this, that he is always there. And he is, in the sense that whatever we do, we'll bring it back to our spiritual master. And at a glance, if he hasn't seen us for a while, at a glance, he can see. He can, because it shows. It shows on how much open we can just look at him. Right? How much we can just be completely simple. In one of the Brahminical qualities in samodamastapo saucham ksantir arjavam eva cha jnana vijnanam astikyam brahmakam svabhavajam. It is said arjavam. So this quality of arjavam means simplicity. It also means honesty, because when you're simple, then you're also honest. And it said, like, if you ask someone, such a simple brahmana, if you ask him, what is your secret? And then he immediately tell you, and he said, because I have no secret. It has no secrets. It has nothing to hide. So it's quite something to come to the point that we have nothing to hide. Yeah? But this is how simple one has to become in spiritual life. Yeah? Only then can one really take shelter. See, as long as we hide, we're not taking shelter. How can we take shelter? It's very difficult. Very difficult. That means we have to admit our own faults and weaknesses openly. Whereas, you know, the tendency to present oneself just a little better, you know, if I break off the handle of this microphone stand, which I'm capable of doing, I've done it before, so I can say, well, I broke it, or I can just say, it broke. Yeah? You know? It's just a way of presenting it. When I say it broke, it's like it's the fault of the microphone stand. When I say I broke it, then it's my fault. You can see how we are covering up in so many ways all the time. So we have to come to this point of actually being so transparent and simple that we don't cover up. It's very difficult. This is the tendency to pretend. This is it a little dry or okay? Because otherwise don't mix it. Keep it to the side. Keep it to the side. You went into the forest. Yeah. It looks extremely. It looks more or less wet. Anyway, it depends. Some say it's more wet. Some say it's less wet. It's more or less. Yes. Well, so in chanting Hare Krishna, one should know that the holy name is Krishna, and therefore it's not a technique by which we are uplifting ourselves, like a form of meditation, like pranayama, where we are by our breathing creating a certain level of concentration and so on. It's not a technique. It is rather simply an offering to Krishna, and we're trying to please Krishna through this chanting. And when Krishna is pleased, then Krishna will reveal himself within the name and in general. And if Krishna is however not pleased with us, that means if we are making offenses against the name, then Krishna is simply withdrawing himself. And then Janmana Adhikari, what is it? Janmana Adhikari, Tavana Sri Kirtanam, Tautana Paya Padai Pranima, Danam. We are chanting for so many lifetimes and still not attaining the desired success of this chanting for one who makes offenses. So, everyone has the tendency to criticize devotees, and we must be careful about that. Yeah, careful. It's a very difficult tendency to overcome, and one must try to avoid. Because if we criticize, then Krishna becomes, if we criticize devotees, Krishna becomes displeased and he withdraws his mercy from the chanting. And we're chanting and chanting and chanting and we feel no result. So this is one reason why we're chanting and it's so difficult. We're not getting any result because we're not in the mood of glorifying the devotees, but rather finding fault. So we must always glorify devotees and get into that habit. That will be very helpful. Second offense is to consider the names of the demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma to be equal or independent to the name of Lord Vishnu. That means that Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are extremely powerful, but they cannot free us from birth and death. Only Lord Vishnu can do so. And although Lord Vishnu can free us from birth and death, Lord Vishnu cannot give us love of God. Only Krishna can do that. Or the love of God of Golok, he cannot give. So in that way, we should understand that this chanting of Hare Krishna is is of a very special nature. The name Krishna is dealing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when we are turning to Krishna, returning for Him for the ultimate goal of life, prema pumarta mahan, to develop love of God. So, in this way, our focus is on Krishna. Although we respect the devatas, we can offer prayers to the devatas if we so desire, but we are not taking prasadam. We don't take the prasad from the devatas. And we are reserving our puja for our worship, for our istadev, our worshipable Lord. Our istadev is Krishna. Yeah? But to all other deities we offer respect. Yeah? But we take only Krishna prasad. That is our line. Third offense, disobey the order of the spiritual master. Spiritual master is the representative of Krishna, so automatically we become disconnected from Krishna. So these offenses are creating a distance between us and Krishna and are delaying the progress. And then we struggle so much, and one can think about that, you know. Sometimes we see devotees and we see how it looks as if they are already working on their next birth. Yeah? They're already in this life doing things which create their next birth. So that's very unfortunate. That's not the aim. We are meant to wind it up. So we must be careful. So one should not disobey the orders of the spiritual master. So that's sort of an unspoken extra vow, right? It's sort of wrapped up in these 10 offenses. But this kind of total obedience to the spiritual master, it's like he has more authority over us than anybody ever had. Even to your parents, you could, even when we were small, we were already saying, no. Right? And as we continued, we said it even with more force. No way. It's my life and I do what I want. But now, we can't say. So it's very heavy, actually. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is acting as the spiritual master of Sanatan Goswami. And basically the relationship is described where at one point Sanatan Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells Sanatan Goswami that your body is my property. Right? So it's like, you know, your body is my property. And that's how it is here today. So after this yajna, those who take first initiation, their bodies, not only are their bodies my property, everything they own is also my property. Everything. Your car, your computer, everything. That's all mine. Yes, it's all mine. Even your son. What if I come one day and say, I want your son? Will you give? But I don't really want to start a guru call, so don't worry. it is all mine, but I'm giving it back to you to look after on my behalf. All right? So you can keep your son and look after him on my behalf. But now he's also my property. If you're my property, your son is also my property, you see. Yeah. So, but you look after my property on my behalf, and all of you. That is how deep that relationship goes, right? And it should be our everything. We must dedicate every moment to our spiritual master, every day to our spiritual master. All right. I see some of the candidates begin to breathe heavily. Let me say something. We went through a ceremony once, and all the speakers were saying these serious things, one after another. And then Indra Jumna Maharaj came in with his happy-go-lucky smile, and he says, you know, spiritual life is for a long... Since the jiva fell from the spiritual world, for a long time we've been falling down. He said, and then when you come to the process of bhakti, slowly that course changes. And said, and then at the time of initiation, it starts to go upwards, and gradually the course of your journey shows a big smile in the sky. See? Yeah, that's in the Jumna Maharaj. But it works, you see, it worked with you. That's good, it lightens up the whole load. So it is actually like that. It is a time to celebrate. It is a time to rejoice. Life from now on is wonderful, because all that disappears are all the obstacles, all the unwanted things. Why would you not want to follow the order of the spiritual master when he's going to set you free? You know, what if you're in a swamp and you're sinking into the mud and you're going under, and someone puts a plank on top of it and says, "Grab this wood," and now slowly try to pull yourself out of the mud while I'm trying to pull you out with the plank. Are we going to argue like when he says, no, grab it like this? No, I'm not going to grab it like that. It's not the time to argue, obviously. So in this way, obedience to the spiritual master is important, because he's helping us to get out of the material world. Fourth offense is to blaspheme the Vedic literature, or literature in the pursuance of the Vedic version. The Vedic literature are very expansive, right? That means there are so many Vedic literatures. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in his Krishna Samhita that in his time, only 6% of the Vedic literature was still available, which is a shockingly low percentage, really. And then you wonder what's available now, right? But there are many Vedic literatures. And even in Bhagavad Gita, we find a description, Traigunya Visya Veda Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna, that a section of the Vedas are within the three modes of material nature. Yeah, there are also Vedic literatures. We also respect them. Jyotish Shastra, we respect. Dhanur Shastra, Vastu Shastra, right? We respect. But we are not bound to such scripture. We're not bound. Because the transcendental process is not affected. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it said the Rasi chart, the birth chart, applies to that which takes birth, and the soul never takes birth. Na jayate mriyate vakadachin. So, therefore, it doesn't apply to the soul. Also, it says in the Harivamsa, which is a supplement to the Mahabharata written by Vyasadeva himself, it says there is also a section, just like in Bhagavatam, that predicts Kali Yuga. And it describes there that in Kali Yuga, all the Brahmins start to practice astrology. Ayurveda also, of course. Yeah. Anyway, so these things are going on. So, Janmanam Jayate Sudra, by birth everyone is a Sudra. Sanskrit Bhavidvija, by Sanskrit is twice born. Veda Patet Vipra, by following the path of the Vedas one can become a Vipra. A Vipra is a Brahmana who engages in Karmakanda ritual, and Karmakanda ritual is activity that improves the material conditions of life or gives you temporary results. Right? What's the good of doing yajñas to go to the heavenly planets and then come back down to this world? No good. So then, I'm, as you can see, I'm shooting through the 10 offenses like a at a high speed train. So the Vedic literatures have a hierarchy within them, and the essence of all Vedic literature is particularly the Bhakti Shastri. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after coming back from Gaya, identified that any scripture that is not involved with the direct worship of Krishna is not scripture at all, he said to his mother. He gave a very rigid, devastating definition like that. Right? So Srila Prabhupada, during these yajnas, oftentimes at four brahmanas on four corners, and I usually invoke them mentally, right? So, you know, one brahmana would be reading Nectar of Devotion, another one would be reading Bhagavad Gita, another one would be reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and a fourth Chaitanya Charitamrita. So these are our main books because they are pure and transcendental. And then sometimes we see quotes from other Vedic literatures. However, when our acharyas quote from a particular book, that doesn't necessarily endorse the whole book. So you shouldn't think if you quote one verse from a book that the acharyas necessarily agree with the whole book. No. Many times they don't. And it's the devotees tend to have this, this book's bona fide, completely. Not necessarily. So although we respect all the Vedic literatures, we approach them through these bona fide scriptures. These bona fide scriptures provide us our filters. And through these filters can we go into these other Vedic scriptures. Still, we respect them all. But we understand from Bhagavatam that when Vyas had become despondent, that Narada chastised him and said that the reason why you became despondent is because in the Vedas you have not directly glorified Krishna. You have described so many indirect processes. Yes, so this is the case, that there are many indirect processes for people who cannot surrender to Krishna. All right, do something else. That was basically Vyasa's approach. But Narada told him, condemned it, and said, in this way you have actually obscured the real conclusion of all the Vedic literatures. Vedaista sarvar aham eva vidyo. Krishna is the aim of all the Vedic literatures. So anyway, we respect all Vedic literatures, but we focus on these four scriptures. Because they are describing pure devotional service. Sixth offense gives some interpretation on the holy name. The holy name, Lord Chaitanya, was approached by Vallabhacharya, who wanted to give lofty explanations of the holy name. And Lord Chaitanya said, I'm not accepting many meanings to the holy name. I'm only accepting that Krishna is known as Nandanandan, Yasodanandan, the son of Nanda, the son of Yasoda, and so on, right? But no deep, complex meanings. There's no need. We know that the name Krishna is simply referring to Krishna, the all-attractive Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are a few other meanings that our acharyas give. Krish also means dark. Na means not. So no more darkness. Krish can also be derived from akarsan, which means to attract, and na as referring to anand or happiness. So in this way, by being attracted to Krishna, one merges in happiness. Then hare, referred to as representing the internal potency, the Ladini Shakti, the pleasure potency, the spiritual potency, which can give pleasure to Krishna, which includes devotional service. And Ram, Ramanti Yogino Nante Satchanana Chitatmani Iti Brahma Pradena So Param Brahma Vidiyate. It is transcendental happiness. So, simple. Krishna the all-attractive. Hare, devotional service to the all-attractive will produce Ram. transcendental happiness. Not complicated. No. Of course, some had an argument. Is Ram referring to Lord Ramachandra? Is Ram referring to Parasaram? Or is Ram referring to Balaram? And Prabhupada commented, yes, to all of them. Yes. But we also know that Balaram is the origin. Right? We know that Balaram is the first expansion of Krishna, and that then so many other expansions come about. So ultimately, we're looking as the primary meaning to Lord Balaram, who is the giver of spiritual strength. We approach Lord Balaram for spiritual strength. Without Balaram, what can we do? Right? Very difficult. We pray to Balaram. When we are weak, we just pray to Balaram. Because Balaram is the giver of strength. Balaram says, carries the plow, and the plow is meant to prepare the field, and is uprooting all the unwanted things in the field of the heart. So Balaram is the one who is paving the way for Krishna, Achyuta, who then can be worshipped. Seventh offense is when we think, well, I can do any damn thing. I'm chanting Hare Krishna. You know? Nothing can happen to me. I've got the magic mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And I'll do whatever I like. No, that's when this situation occurs, that we start to treat the mantra as if it's a mechanical thing. You know, some sort of magic mantra. Hare Krishna and all. No, it's Krishna, the person. So then Krishna, the person, leaves us with an empty shell of the mantra. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur elaborates on this, that if we chant in that way, that we commit sinful activities and we chant at the same time, and we think, oh, it's okay. I'm not speaking about a person who's struggling and who sometimes falls down, but who is really trying to chant and who knows, if I fall down, I'm going to get reactions for this. That's not what I'm speaking about. I'm speaking about the one who thinks, I'm chanting, no reactions, doesn't matter. Then Krishna withdraws from the mantra. So that is very undesirable. So this Nannabalat Papi Buddhi is a very, very inauspicious thing. And one should be careful to avoid sinful activities at all times. So, this is where strictness is required. You see, spiritual life is a very interesting mix of being liberal and being strict at the same time. You have to be very liberal in recognizing all the good qualities in others. Extremely liberal, right? Even when there's hardly any good quality, you still have to see them, you know? If it slightly looks like a good quality, oh yes, very nice, very nice, very nice. Right? So that means very, very liberal. And on the other hand, we have to be very strict with what we eat. It's good to read the labels. You know, I mean, you know, I was in Vrindavan and it was so sweet. But then, by the arrangement of the GBC, I was sent to Australia, and when I was in Australia, I had to pay off my ticket, and they sent me into a part of Melbourne. They dropped me off with a roll of paintings, and I had to go, and I walked in the street, and I saw this sign, Blood and Bones, $20. And I just came from Vrindavan. And sort of like, you know, whose blood, whose bones, where am I? And next moment, I go in the first factory where I'm supposed to sell paintings, and they were slaughtering chickens. And anyway, the man bought $400 worth, and there was blood on the money. Oh God, you know. Anyway, and when I came out, there was a chicken on the wrong side of the fence, and I told them, "Run, chicken, run!" Didn't listen. Anyway, at the end, I came to a company which was boiling down legs, heads, tails, and all kinds of animal parts that are left over. And that's kind of the stuff that is thickener or gelatin or, you know, it's kind of like the cream, you know, so nicely rejuvenates the skin. It's all made from these nice ingredients. Anyway, at least don't eat it, if possible. So I feel some strictness makes sense. It really does in our personal life. One must be careful to commit, to avoid sinful activities. And even if the label is okay, that still doesn't make it of a high caliber, right? It still affects the consciousness. You know, you buy something that's cooked by some, by a non-devotee, and, you know, and then you put it on your altar and say hocus pocus, and then, you know, it's become prasadam. It's not exactly the same as what's been cooked by devotees, obviously. So I feel that we should be mindful of these things. Eighth offense, consider the chanting of Hare Krishna to be one of the auspicious ritualistic ceremonies offered in the Vedas as free of activities of karma kanda. I mentioned before the rituals that improve this life but that have no lasting effect. One should not think that the chanting of Hare Krishna will fix the problems in our life. It may or may not. You can chant a lot, but it doesn't mean that suddenly you have no more material problem. And then you're chanting, and I've chanted so much, and then I can't understand how these things can happen to me because I'm a devotee, I'm chanting. Then you think the chanting is karma kanda. Then you think it's meant to fix your material life. No, it's not. In fact, you know, there is a reference in the Bhagavatam where Krishna sometimes sends even some extra trouble to his devotees to purify them quickly so that they can burn up a lot of karma in all in one life so they can go back to Godhead. So, ladies and gentlemen, fasten your seatbelt and remember the brace position. Yeah, the purification is on and there can be some turbulence on the way. Yes. Anyway, so the ninth offense in the matter of chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra is to preach to faithless. Well, you can't be fanatic about that because then you couldn't even preach to yourself. You know? So that's the first problem. But it says that to new people we can preach Bhagavad Gita and we can preach about chanting the holy name of the Lord, but we don't enter deeply into the more intimate pastimes of Krishna in a public forum like that. That is recommended, and one must be careful about that. However, to philosophically address aspects of Krishna and his higher activities is different than to describe intimate Rasa-lila details. Still, Rasa-lila discussions generally we reserve for experienced devotees. Tenth offense is to maintain material attachments even after receiving so many instructions in this matter. Maintaining material attachment is not the same as having them. We'll have material attachments, but maintaining them means to invest in them. It's like keeping them as a pet. Right? Oh, my dear material desires, and feed them nicely and make them good and fat. Right? That is when you're maintaining them. Yeah? And, like I was in France, this quite some years ago, in Paris once, and that year there was the final of the World Soccer Cup in Paris, in France, and France was in the final against Brazil. And I was in the temple, And you know, a few hours before the match, there were some devotees that in regular clothes, civil clothes, went on a japa walk. It was okay. You know. So, but the diehards were saying, no, we stay in the temple, this is Maya. And then, you know, when it actually got time for the match, some devotees with a cloth hanger tried to make an antenna for the TV because it was only a video. And, you know, it didn't work and the thing, only snow on the thing. Anyway, and then, you know, then suddenly after about 5 minutes, we heard the city of Paris roar, go! And Hong Kong, and we knew it's 1-0 for France, right? And then a bit later, you know, again, and in the end, the score, when, you know, Brazil scored a goal, it was, so we know the score was 3-1. We didn't miss anything. But, you know, yeah, one can, of course, in this way, stretch the envelope. You know, one can try to stretch the limits of Krishna consciousness and practice the mantra. Yeah, we can't be fanatic, you know, and just sort of watch this movie, watch that movie, play this, play that, do everything, and we will maintain material attachments. Of course, one of our spiritual leaders told me, he said, sometimes for my son, I have to be in Maya. Yeah. That's also true. Kids want to play stupid games, and what are you going to do about it? You know, it's like unavoidable. So we forgive the fathers who football with their kids, but you know, otherwise, Prabhupada wrote it. Right? He did write it. I make it easy in the initiation because here I'm telling you before what you're getting. Prabhupada initiated people, and the next day he writes on a piece of paper, and all initiated devotees must follow the four regulative principles: no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, no meat, fish, or egg, and chant 16 rounds daily, and no frivolous sports. And he put it on the wall. I mean, that's heavy. So I'm a softie, actually. But since Prabhupada wrote it, I think we should then, I guess, then we have to follow it, what to do. Can't change it, really. Sorry about that. So, yeah, to maintain these material attachments. Also, you know, someone was into Ayurvedic medicine, and then you have this really good Ayurvedic medicine, you know, some of these rasayans, you know, they give new life, 90% alcohol, and you know, by the time you're on the third bottle, you know, well, I'll tell you, Haribo. So one must be, I've seen it. Yeah, so that's all in the category of maintaining material attachments. Oh, well. So some personal strictness is important. It's not like fanaticism. What to do? Some personal strictness in sadhana, some personal strictness in our social conduct is needed. Because these things, you see, what happens is, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya chapter 19, there's the seat principle is described. And it describes the bhakti lata beach. You get the seed of bhakti and you water it and it grows and so on. But it says there's also other creepers that grow from other seeds. So you pick up seeds and you think, no, nothing happens. I watch that movie and when these scenes come, I just look the other way. But even if I see something, it doesn't affect me at all. No, has no effect on me at all. Nothing. Ask my wife. she knows. No effect whatsoever. The seed has entered, and the seed will grow and fructify later, will come out later. So that's interesting, this whole seed principle. Yeah, from Chaitanya Charitamrita, one has to. And that's why when we get too casual, that we might inadvertently pick up some seeds which later on may fructify. So we must be conscious of that. Well, that's a whole big thing about the ten offenses then, that we avoid carefully. And if we do so, then practically success guaranteed. Success guaranteed. No problem at all. No problem at all. So that's it. You're in the boat now, and I hope you're sitting comfortable, and we'll just gonna give it a push now. So I'll just go down the line. Let me see. I have to first find the beats. Yours are black. Huh? These were yours. Let's see. Yeah. Okay, so you can, cameras and drums and whatever. So, back to Frank. Yeah, I'm going to tell you. Just relax. Just come here, squeeze in between, and pay your obeisances. Oh, next beats haven't been changed? Okay, you're right. Very good. Good secretary. All the neck beats have to be changed of the first initiate. Second initiates can keep them, only the first. Devotees should help them. Yeah. Yeah, help. Help Frank. He's doing it already. Okay. Yeah, the garlands. And we can do the garlands otherwise later. It takes forever. Let's get the show on the road. Meanwhile, do we have a musician? Where is he? There he is, Raj. Grab that harmonium, do some, like, while they are doing all this, do some Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. Pull. And don't break it, it's brand new. I got it for my birthday. All right, so Frank, where are your new beats? They're missing. Oh. Where some are we doing something about that?
Yes.
Okay, then Frank comes a little later. Then it's Marco. You get your chance. Yeah, full flat. But don't knock up any flower. Oui. That's my teeth. Make you pay for that. Okay. We can have fun on the way, but meanwhile, it's a serious thing at the same time. And so what are the four regulative principles you're gonna promise to follow for the rest of your life?
Drinking or intoxication,
Okay, no unnecessary animal slaughter.
No meat, no fish, no eggs.
Yeah, we want to eat. On an island. What if you're stuck on an island, right? Well, yeah, what if you're stuck on the island and there's nothing to eat except that one peacock? And you're kind of looking at each other, right? No. Well, there is such a thing that is called apadharma. Apadharma is like religious principles that may be followed in the case of emergency. However, apadharma must be authorized by one's spiritual master. Satsarupa Maharaj is describing it in his diary. It's called Diary of the 70s, actually. And there, Prabhupada, there's a conversation with Prabhupada about the topic, and Prabhupada basically says it's the spiritual master who decides what you can do or not. So, you can't eat the peacock. Starve. Just starve on that island. I will do it too. We'll starve on the island. We trust in Krishna. You know, no problem. Dying is not that bad. If you die in that way, then it gets really good on the other side. You know, it's worth it. You know, whereas if you eat the peacock, then possibly later you have to, you know, pay for poor peacock. So no meat, fish or eggs, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. Okay. Then, how many rounds minimum every day? At least, yeah. And also the whole parampara and Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, even by my mercy, also. You can't go, I'm also there. So, yeah. I thought of two names. One was really long, and I thought everyone's going to have a hard time pronouncing it, and the other one's really short. So I thought, since it was short before anyway, I'll keep it short. So from this day on, you will be known as Matsya Das. Too late now. It's done. Matsya, of course, is one of the Das Avatar, and Matsya was involved in assisting King Satavrata to save the Vedic knowledge when that was at threat. So he has a deep connection with the Vedic knowledge. So since I know you like to read, you know, I'd be really happy if you just make that a special mission and just read and read and read, but stay humble. Frank has neck beats now. Welcome. In the Vedic culture, there are not many names with an F. And there's a practice to keep the first letter of the name, because in the Vedic culture, in Vedic names, it is calculated by the birth titi, and then there is a particular auspicious syllable described for the first name. Therefore, with, you know, people from Vedic background, we are more careful to keep the first syllable, but with Frank, I may not do that. Yeah, too far away. Yeah. What are the four regulative principles that you promise to follow for the rest of your life?
First of all, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, no fish, no eggs, and no gambling.
Good. And And what is the number of rounds, the minimum number of rounds you promise to chant every day?
At least 16.
At least 16. Very good. All right. I wanted to call you after a place which is dedicated to Sankirtan. In Mayapur we have, of course, Navadvip, the nine islands. And one of these nine islands is dedicated particularly to Kirtan, Sankirtan. Right? And I will name you after that place. So from this day on, you will be known as Godrum Das. And later on we'll write it down just to okay now. Yeah, on just now. Which beats were on Bhakta Umraj? Yeah. Which ones were they? You recognize them? You don't. I cannot find them. I also cannot find them. Are they big? Are they small? Yeah, okay. Bhakta Umraj. Bhakta Umraj is a translator. He's from Czech Republic and he's translating books from English into Czech. Very nice. Good service. So, what are the four regulative principles that you promised to follow? Okay, and how many rounds are you promising to chant every day? Very good. All right, we were now already in Godrum, and it's not so far, you know, to go right to the heart of Sridham Mayapur. And the heart of Sridham Mayapur is known also by a name which I will give to you. And so from this day on, you will be known as Antardvip Das. So Antardvip, the interior island, where the residence of the yoga pit is there, residence of birthplace, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very nice name, I like it. So it's nice in that way, you know, these names are nice because each time you call someone, you get purified. Then the next on the first initiation row, yes, Bhakti Stefan. Stefan. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Are you saying it out loud? He doesn't. Yeah. He has to say someone say to him that normally pranam mantra should be said loud. Yeah. All right then. And I forgot what name I gave. What, I mean, just a look on my paper. Aha. What are the four regulative principles that you promise to follow for the rest of your life? Good. And then how many rounds are you promising to chant every day? Just nice. Very good. All right. So from this day on, your name will be Sveta Varaha Das. So, Lord Varaha appears two times and once he appears in a reddish form and another time he appears in a white form. So Sveta is white, so therefore the white Varaha, Sveta Varaha. That's his name. Hare Krishna. And then Sebastian. Think so. Am I forgetting someone in the first note? Subhash. And Rupa can also come together. I mean, sort of. Find the beats. 1 second. Veronica, Rupa, side.
It's your responsibility, Ken.
Yeah. Now, which one is this? Subhash, yes. Okay, Subhash, you first. Also, oh yeah, I remember now. So Subhash is from India, but lives in Germany for quite some time. 9 years, yeah, long time, and not so far from Köln. And where exactly? What's Düsseldorf, right? So close to here, actually, in a way. So they are a very nice family and very serious about spiritual life. So what are the four regulative principles that you promise to follow for the rest of your life?
No meat, no gambling, no eating, no intoxication.
Usually we specify the meat eating a little more. Of course, no onion, garlic, that goes automatically, I know. And then, what are the number of rounds that you promise to chant every day?
At least 16 rounds.
Okay, very good. So, of course, your name Subhash is an auspicious name, right? Because actually it means auspiciousness, right? It's like he who brings auspiciousness. So, but I wanted to make it even more auspicious by connecting it more with Krishna, because the name Subhash, although it's very nice, it's not really connecting us so much with Krishna directly. Therefore, I thought I should give you a name which is a little more connected with Krishna. And therefore, from this day on, I will call you Sudama Das. After all, Sudama is Krishna's close friend, so it's a good name to be the servant of Sudama. And thank you very much. And now it's Rupa's turn. And you'll get all the blessings. Yes. That later in life you may also. I'll give you here. Oops. Lokeshwari Rupa, huh? Actually, long name. And the name Lokeshwari Rupa can mean many things. It can refer to Durga Devi, right? She who is the form of the controller of this world. But of course, Radharani is also Lokeshwari Rupa in that way. So it's a nice name like that. Still I have to change it because she's starting a new life today. And I was thinking, you know, different Rupa varieties and so on. And but huh? Yeah, I know that. I know. I was thinking about that, but my mind wasn't fixed on it. So, as Sadhbhuj is here to make sure the procedure is followed. So first tell us, what are the four regulative principles you promise to follow for the rest of your life? Yes, very good. And how many rounds will you chant every day? At least 16. Very good. I couldn't make up my mind what to do. I'll give her a name now. I think from this day on we call you Rupa Manjari Devi Das. Thank you very much. I'm very happy that this day has come. I told Sudama, yeah? It's not so difficult. Sudama, it's easy. You'll manage. Rupa Manjari, he'll also manage. You know, he'll call you Rupa Manjari. Anyway, so I told him that now we're going to this Queen's Day. It will be so busy. I will not see you so much, right? But and then I'll go to the German, to the Nasringhafa. You'll be there? We'll meet there. Well, then we'll have time. Okay. Thank you very much. I have in my hand Veronica's mala. Bhakti Veronica is from Czech Republic, and she's connected to a very nice farm there called Krishna Dur on the outside of Prague, where they actually grow grains and then make it into flour, and they basically live from what they sell and from the land. So that's actually really nice. I mean, I appreciate that farm a lot. It's actually the first place where I ever went after I took sannyas. So I have a special relationship with that farm. Once we had a Vyasa Puja there, it was a little crowded. but nice. Yeah, so what are the four regulative principles that you promised to follow? And how many rounds do you promise to chant every day?
Rajuman.
That's good. Okay. Okay, from this day on, you will be known as Vaibhavi Devidasi. So, Vaibhav means spiritual influence. So, Vaibhavi is she who spreads spiritual influence everywhere. Vaibhavi Devidasi. Hare Krishna. Okay, well, I pulled out of the box a Bhakti Jnana. Susie is last. Krishna. Yeah, it's you understand enough English, or she must translate also? You're translating? Yeah, Sprekladet, yeah. Good. Bhakti Jnana has been involved in Krishna consciousness for a long time. And she has children, and she's like, you know, a few, so I can't, many, yeah, two. So, but in spite of that, right, she manages to be, you know, to be serious about spiritual life. So that's really nice. I appreciate that. And she really wanted initiation. So it's happening now. What are the four regulative principles that you promise to follow for the rest of your life? What is the number of rounds you will chant every day? Minimum is just nice. Cool. That's easy. That's good. Nice. Okay. Then from this day on, you will be known as Jai Radhika David. Jai. Jai Radhika, I think everybody knows what that means. Wow. I didn't know your daughter was Radhika, but anyway. Now you have two. Susie. I need to look on the paper. One minute, I have to check what I... Thank you. What did I write down? Okay. So what are the four regulative principles you promise to follow for the rest of your life? Meat eating, a little more detail. Yes, good. And how many rounds are you promising to chant every day? Minimum 16 rounds. All right, so I guess I'll first give you the name and then I'll explain it. So from this day on, you will be known as Surabhi Devidas. So, of course, during the Govardhan Lila, we remember that Indra was causing a lot of disturbance and sending down lots of rains and so on. And, well, it took a few days, and then Indra began to realize that Krishna was the Supreme Lord. And he realized he made a terrible mistake. So he went to Lord Brahma to look for protection, and Lord Brahma advised him what to do. Lord Brahma told him to approach Krishna, but to put Surabhi in front. Surabhi was the deity of the spiritual reasons, a wishful fulfilling cow, okay? Kamadenu, and she was a great devotee. And then, so Indra tried to use Surabhi and put Surabhi in the front. And but then Surabhi took advantage of the situation very expertly. She started to glorify Krishna and said, "My dear Lord Krishna, you actually..." She said that, like, Indra created this terrible destructive rain force which was about to destroy the whole world, but you saved us. You saved not only all the people of Vrindavan, but also the cows of Vrindavan. And therefore you are our real protector. Therefore you are the real Indra. And therefore today we want to crown you as Indra. And then Surabhi began to bathe Krishna with her milk. And then Indra had to go along with it, although he didn't like it so much, but what could he do? So he had Airavata, his elephant, then bathed Krishna with celestial Ganges water, and that made Govinda Kund. So Surabhi is a very intimate associate of Krishna, very dear to Krishna. Right? So if you have the favor of Surabhi by being a faithful devotee, then surely Krishna will accept you without a doubt. Hare Krishna. I think I got everyone. Looks like done. Then, so then we are going on to the next part of the sacrifice. We'll sit down and throw grains. Yes, Vraj will now start singing, and I'll just start making some preparations. Yeah, Vraj, each time I'm sorry to interfere again. I think I better do the Achman first and then let you sing. Yeah? So let's do the Achman now. You take the cup, and in front of you, the spoon goes in the left hand, left hand, no, Jairadika, yeah, left. Spoon in the left hand, put some drops, 3 drops in the right hand, and throw. Yeah? Put 3 drops, throw. Now spoon in the right hand, 3 drops in the left hand, throw. On the floor. Okay. Again, the spoon in the left hand. Mm-hmm. Now 3 drops in the right hand. And chant Om Kesavaya Namah. 3 drops and throw. And again, 3 drops in the hand. Om Madhavaya Namah.
Good.
And 3 drops and throw. And finally, 3 drops. Om Narayanaya Namaha.
3 drops and throw.
Om Apavitra Pavitruva Sarvavasta Gatupiva Yasmarit Punarikaksam Sabayabhyantara Suchi Sri Vishnu Sri Vishnu Sri Vishnu. Then, Braj, please.
Sure. I'll just take.
Sure.
No.